Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a 58 Ember production.
Hey, I'm Erica Muller, host of Here For It. Self-discovery is an endless journey, and each week I'm bringing on experts, industry leaders, and friends, where we'll be talking all things life, fashion and beauty, personal development, and probably some pop culture along the way as well. Here For It is your weekly space to get grounded, regroup, and be inspired to live your best life. Because really, we're all figuring it out as we go. And I'm here for you. New episodes drop every Tuesday.
Hi guys, welcome back to Here For It and Happy New Year. I hope everybody has had a really rejuvenating and refreshing past couple of weeks. I feel like the holidays can be hectic, but I always like to use this time of year to just really be able to relax and decompress and be more present, regroup with nature a little bit and just live in the moment a little bit more. I find it really important, for me at least, to kind of decompress my brain at the end of the year and just sort of let go of anything that's been stressing me or that was overwhelming or that didn't go exactly how I wanted this past year and just get back to the present moment. The present is truly a gift, which is as cliche as it is. Once you can kind of on cue get yourself back to the present moment anytime you can, I feel like that's when things always shift for me in a really positive way. And I feel like this time of year is such a good reminder for that. Also, with the new year, I was thinking about the idea of how much effort and energy we put into like the excitement of a new year, and there's parties and this and that and resolutions and goals. And it's kind of this time of year where everybody thinks like everything's gonna shift for them. And I've never super resonated with that. But I was thinking about the concept a lot more this year. And I was like, you know what's really interesting is if we went into every single day with that sort of mindset, like you don't have to wait for a new year, a new week, a new month to have this feeling of excitement and inspiration and that like tomorrow could be the best day ever. Like you don't have to think that next year is going to be the best year ever. And I think I want to bring more of that energy into 2024, but in the spirit of a new year and a lot of us leaning into new goals and resolutions and things like that, back in December, I had asked for career questions. And so I know a lot of people revamp the way they think and do career and job things in the new year. And so I wanted to start the new year with answering your questions. So I brought Sunny Marquardt back on the podcast. And if you haven't listened to her previous episode, I'll link it down below. She is amazing and so smart and just really, really insightful. But she's also a career coach and she's worked with A-list celebs, Fortune 500 companies. Like she knows what she's talking about. And so I asked her your questions. And so I'm excited for you guys to hear her responses. I thought she brought just such a great perspective and things that I truly never would have considered. And so I'm really happy to have had her back on the podcast. And I hope you enjoy this episode. With that, let's get into the questions. How do you know when you're ready to move on from your current job? If nothing bad is happening, I'm just hopeful there are better opportunities.
So first of all, questions from the audience are so difficult because context is so important. So my first question is, I might say to someone like, why are you asking that question? I'm always going to say like, what's making you ask that question for sure? So I do say to people, there's always going to be a personality type that's always wondering if the grass is greener on the other side. There's this feeling, there's just this feeling of wondering. And I think it's, I think my thought on that one is to just be cautious that you're not in that camp, that you're always wondering, is it better over there? Is it better over there? Because you know how it is. If we, it's like some people who move, if they move to another state because they're running from their problem, the way we say the problems comes with you, right? Now, there are toxic cultures, toxic places. There are reasons to leave. But there is nothing in this question that's saying to me that there is something toxic. There's nothing bad. They're just right? So first of all, it is absolutely your choice. First of all, you're the human being who gets to make the choice. I would just say it's important to not be a job hopper, because too much hopping is hard to explain to employers, right? That's really my own caution. Other than that, I'd be like, I am such an advocate of networking while you're employed to talk to other places, because you just, first of all, you're a number often, you never know in this economy when something's going to happen. So you should always be looking. However, be looking you also could be looking internally. Sometimes there's amazing opportunities. So I would say really think it through. That's what I would say. What is the reason? Are we so bored? We're just like, there is nothing left here. If you are that bored, it's like, that is a great reason to leave. But if you have just gotten there for 6 months and you're already bored, that's a tough one to explain to another employer. So I always like to say, tell people if they can try to push through for 2 years, this again, removing toxicity out of the story.
Yeah.
That is the better place to land. Does that make sense?
Totally. For me, it sounds kind of almost like a mindset shift of like, why are you really... what is so bad about what's happening? And if there's nothing really bad happening, can you lean into more of the day-to-day?
Yeah. Or can you make some shifts internally to deal with that little itch and just kind of keep networking and making a plan for the bigger picture when you are ready? That's what I would say to do with that.
Totally. I think that's a great answer. Okay. Next one. This is a good question. How can I implement boundaries with my boss after I feel like I made myself too accessible?
Oh my gosh. What a tough one. First of all, you could have a whole episode just on boundaries, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. People pleasing.
Boundaries is painful, painful. So, okay. So let's imagine it. The scenario is you've been saying, yes, 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 yes. We've come in, we've people pleased and we've said, yes, yes, yes. Here is my advice. First of all, it is hard. I'm just going to call out the difficultness, especially if you are a person who struggles saying no in life. Like if that is one of your, if I say anything, you're going to be like, yes, Cindy. Easier said than done. But here's one thing I know for sure. In the moment, trying to change that is harder than proactive. So if you're like, okay, I'm going to change my boundaries, and your boss comes to you and says, hey, can you work late today or can you take on this project? You have this internal reaction where you're like, oh, that is not the moment to try to change things. The moment to change things is to do a little bit of homework ahead of time. Like, think to yourself, I'm going to organize myself. I'm going to look at my priorities. I'm going to look at my workload. And I'm going to look at my work hours, and I'm going to proactively have a conversation with my boss about some things. And I might say something like, I'd love to have a conversation. I've been here for about 6 months now. And after 6 months, I've been gathering, and here's what I'm experiencing and like to have a conversation with you about. You get it? Now you're proactively having it. So now you're not, emotions aren't dealing with in the moment, which people pleasers really, in the moment they really struggle with this. So he might say, oh, sure. Well, what examples? I'd really love to have a little bit more of work-life balance. Just be clear about the ask before you go in. Because if you aren't clear about the ask, then you're going to waffle all over the place. So come in prepared for what you're asking for. What are you trying to say? So also, by the way, Google is amazing. There's this one site that gives you 50 ways to say no. There's like all these phrases. So 50 is, by the way, overwhelming. The point is look at them and find three that feel like your personality.
Yeah.
And find some go-to phrases. That's what I find that people who struggle with no need is, what's your go-to phrase that just makes you pause before jumping in and saying, yes, That's what it is their emotions want to say yes. So first of all, just pause and remember the conversation you had and say something like, this is one of my favorite ones at work is, all right, let me look at my workload and see if that's a possibility or see what I might have to move today to make that happen. So see, it's like you're starting to show and remember that you've had this conversation. Now, by the way, we all know the emergencies. There are some things that happen that we're like, we know that the boss is asking and we're like, we got to do it now. But you know, if this is a habit, a habitual thing, it's going to take time for him to learn it because you've been a yes person. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take some time for you to learn to continue to keep those messages out. Any thoughts on that?
I think I just have a follow-up question. So because I've been in a situation like this, I was a chronic people pleaser. And so I feel like I can relate to this. And it's definitely if you've overshared boundaries or like not had them, people are confused at first and they push back and
why? What happened?
Exactly. But so let's say you have the conversation and the boss is still like, well, no, I need you to do this. And it's like not being accepted, then what?
Right. Okay. So that means you have to like this is again where I said it's easier said than done. In your next one-on-one, you need to say, I'd love to revisit that conversation we had about. See what I mean? It's bold. Now, if it continues to not change, two things. Find a mentor in the company to help you. Say, can you help me? Do you struggle with it too? Find someone else who works with a boss and you notice that they're not struggling with boundaries. How did you make it work? Like, because this is just a me thing. You're noticing. Now, if you also notice though, that this is someone, he doesn't respect anyone's boundaries. That now is a choice that you have to make about where and who you work for. You get what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because if this is a person that doesn't respect it, it's most likely not going to change. So see, it's a difference between him working with you versus him working with everyone. And then my last thought is, at a lot of companies, sometimes you have something called the skip level, which is the person one level above him and some or her. And sometimes I'll recommend that if nothing is changing, to schedule a skip and to just say, here's where I'm struggling. It's another scary step, but it is a legit appointment to be made. Mm-hmm. I've asked for this. I'm looking for some advice. Now, you're not asking this person to go snitch on you. You're not asking this skip level to say, could you talk to them for me? You're asking for some advice around this. Now, there's a chance they might say, I'd love to have this conversation for you or with you. Are you comfortable with that? You got it?
Totally.
Those are the measures I would take.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
It feels good. It feels like it's also a reminder to the person, you just have to be consistent with it and know that it's not going to change overnight.
It is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you started the relationship that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next question. I feel like I'm a generalist. I struggle explaining the value in that. Any ideas?
Oh my goodness. So this is interesting because I actually even talked to Steve does a really great job. Steve's someone I work with at Greenhouse, and he talks a lot about the generalist. I came across the generalist a lot when I was at Capital One as a coach, because if you don't have something specific to say about yourself, what is there to remember, right? Mm-hmm. So, however, first of all, I'm just going to say, this is not easy to figure out. I'm just going to stop right there. And I will also say number two, the reality is, more and more companies are having generalists in their company. But the reality is that within that, we all have some sort of a spin that we do really well. And you've got to figure out how to identify it. So you have to, how do you do it? You start noticing, it's an intentionality. You have to start noticing what it is that people come to you for. What do they consistently come to you for? Or can I start asking? I tell people, remember when you and I talked even about brand? It's like, ask people, what do you notice that you come to me for? And so even if you do lots of things well, you still have to figure out how to pull certain things out about yourself that are unique within being a bit of a generalist, because you have to know how to speak for it, because you can't just say, oh, I do a whole bunch of things. Because no one knows what to do with that. No one knows what to do with that. So you have to figure out how to pull the value out yourself, but it just takes a little bit of raising the intentionality. Everyone has uniqueness about them. So the fact that you're a generalist, there's still something unique about you. Do you agree? I mean, everyone, no one does anything the same.
I agree. I feel like, and even if you are good at a lot of different things, I think it can be situational too. And like, what in this situation out of like my bag of tricks would I be pulling out that I know I'm good at? And you can like highlight those over here and then like another situation over here.
Yeah. I've actually heard Steve, who's a business owner, say, sometimes think about it like a business owner would when they're starting a business. They start thinking, what problem do I want to solve? That's why people. And so think about it. What problems do I tend to solve? That sometimes helps. Ugh. But there's an angle. I promise there's an angle.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay.
Good question though. Hard question. Not an easy one. Yep. Yeah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay. I'm currently looking for a job. Every time I go to apply, I get incredibly overwhelmed. There are so many options, businesses, and places. How can I make this a more enjoyable experience?
Goodness gracious. Enjoyable is a hard word. I almost meet no one who feels like the job search is enjoyable, right?
Yeah.
Hard. So my first, remember we were talking about context in the beginning, is depending on the level of urgency, this is a tough one because there are some people who feel incredibly urgent. And that's usually where the most overwhelm comes from, is this, I am desperate. So my first organizational thought is try not to put yourself in a situation where it's at the urgency place. In other words, try to be as proactive as you possibly can. That being set aside, here is what I recommend. I recommend that what you do is that you treat your job search a little bit like you might organize your own life or regular job. I think that the problem is that people who are looking for jobs are thinking about it day and night, day and night, day and night, and it's stressing them out. So give yourself on and off switches so that you are just like the rest of us, 9 to 5, whatever it is. You're taking time to look and time to not look. So what I might recommend is Fridays, do a planning session with yourself. Plan your next week. Think, what are my blocks going to be? When am I going to spend time searching? When am I not going to spend time searching? If you work a job, then you're going to have to figure out what are the extra times. I'm going to think about what also are my 2 goals for the week. Pick the goals. Is it going to be, am I going to pick 2 people in the network? Am I going to think about my brand statement? Am I going to finish up my resume? Decide your goal a week ahead, because what happens is in our head, we think, I have so much to do. But the truth is, there is so much to do, but you can organize it in chunks and feel less overwhelmed if you just break it down. That's what you got to do. You got to break it down. And then you got to call it. Then you got to call it and you got to laugh and you got to go out with your friends and you need to have a weekend.
Yeah.
Where you're not thinking about it. And I think that helps with the overwhelm.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. All right, next one. How does the current economy shift thinking about career changes?
And of course, that question, whoever listens to it, will depend on where the economy is. Like right now, because it's been changing so much. But right now, you know, like December of 2023, it is showing signs of slowing, right? It's showing signs of slowing down, but it's solid, but slowing. It's solid, but slowing. It's not like crashing or anything like that. And here's what I'm noticing. It's just like, remember the time when it felt like you could quit your job and just find another one? There was a season where it was like, people were like, I hate my job. I can quit it. And I felt like, oh, it's okay. There's another one right around the corner. I don't think we're right there right now. I think that the risk is we're not in that. It's a little more risky to do that right now. That's what I would say. I would say that the only thing that I would think about right now is think about it and be strategic. Don't be as emotionally impulsive right now because there aren't as many available and companies are thinking about budgets. Interesting enough, I'm still hearing so many companies talk about recession, but they were talking about it last year too. And it's like they still don't believe in, they're still not feeling solid. You know, there's this still insecurity. So as much as they did hiring last year, there's still a shaking, a lack of security feeling. So there's not as many jobs available as there used to be. That's what I would say. So my feeling is be strategic and not impulsive.
What about from like the entrepreneur lens?
I think that's such a hard question to answer personally because it depends on what they do. I think they just need to take a hard look at their product relative to where the economy is and think, okay, so I remember like even, okay, so even my own industry, right? It's a squishy industry. It's a feel good thing. So if things get rock bottom hard, the squishy, they don't pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
So if I need to keep my eye on what might I pull up as a result of that coming down, that's all I would do is I would just think about the need of what I sell relative to what people are focusing on in the world. Because if they're focusing on war, they're not focusing on healthy culture. Does that make sense? And so that's all I do is I just take a look at the reality of what people want to focus on. Think about your product. During the pandemic, at Greenhouse, we lost like 60% of our clients like overnight because everybody was scared.
Yeah.
So they were like, everybody canceled everything that was on the books, they canceled, which happened to so many companies, right? So we had to get creative real fast.
Yeah.
So what we did was, because we're a lot more proactive, leadership, culture, things like that. And what we did was we created a whole job search arm because everybody lost their jobs. And so we focused mostly on career shift, wanting to find purpose again, and job search, because that's where everybody's brain was. So we made a shift and we sold that instead.
Yeah. I love that answer. I feel like it's just a good reminder that you have to, like, no matter what industry you're in or how the world is, like, you have to always be on your toes because you just never know what's going to happen and you have to be ready to pivot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true.
Okay. Next one. This is more of a statement than a question, but they said, sometimes I get anxious thinking I'll be stuck in one job forever.
I know it. Just a statement. I just want to give that person a hug. I know. It's just a fear.
Yeah.
My only thought that comes to my mind there is the person that's saying that is feeling like someone else is in control when really you are. That's all. That's what I was feeling. I was like, somehow that person is feeling like the job is in control instead of you are. You are always, always in control of your life more than you realize. People have so many job shifts in their life. And when you feel them, you can be strategic and make the change. If you hate something, the thing is to be strategic. That's the thing. I think that sometimes people feel very emotional and just blah. And that's when they get, because then there's no money or there's no. But if you feel them, think about it, slow down, change.
Yeah.
This life is short. If you are hating where you are at, you have the power to change it. So that's a statement that is untrue. You don't have to be stuck anywhere for the rest of your life. You have the power to change it. You just have to figure out how to do it. So talk to people, get some wisdom and figure out what you want to change and how to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, next question. Is it bad that I applied to multiple places I didn't really want to work just so I could get experience in interviewing?
Oh my goodness, I know. It's funny because there was this, I think he was like a senior director. I had a client at Cap One and he used to come in and he used to tell me he used to apply for two jobs a year, even if he didn't want them, for two reasons. Practice his interviewing, but to see if he was still relevant. It was like an interesting thing because sometimes, especially like in companies like Cap One, that people stay a long time, like they can stay 20, 25 years. So what happens is people start to feel branded only in that place. And they're like, what am I outside of this place? And he always wanted to feel like, am I still marketable outside of here? Now, I will say that his mindset was like, if I get offered the right opportunity, I might say yes. So it wasn't a complete like, I'm just doing it for the sake of. So I don't know if that helps answer the question. I think it's okay to apply for things that are generally interesting to you, for relevance and for interview prep. Mm-hmm. And who knows what will happen there? You might be interested and you might also just learn something along the way.
Yeah.
So I would say, I'm not sure I would totally take advantage of the system.
Yeah. Because
I always like to imagine that these are human beings on the other side. I guess maybe because I'm a coach too, and I talk to recruiters and it's exhausting, the process of trying to find people. So I would say there's a lot of other ways to get good at interviewing. So I wouldn't 100% advocate taking advantage of just for that reason. But if you're trying to find, if you're relevant, tad bit curious, and learn in the process, that's the path I would support.
That was kind of my thought too, where I was like, I feel like if you know, sometimes the universe works in mysterious ways, and maybe you applied for this job that you didn't think you wanted. And then you get there and you're like, wait a minute. Like, I actually feel like this was very much meant to be. Like, I don't know. I could see it playing out like that sometimes too.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. I was offered a job I originally thought I wanted, but I changed my mind. I feel so guilty saying no to people.
That's a hard one. But I think to myself, well, first of all, pause. It's your life.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Show up now just because you feel guilty and hate this job?
Yeah.
Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Just, I think what is really important for that listener to hear is you're not alone. So many people come knocking on the door of a coach and say, help, I just got a job offer and I totally thought I wanted it. But once I got the offer, my gut said no. It's interesting. You know, sometimes we don't know until we get this weird offer, till someone says yes. And then we're like, oh God, there it is. There's my answer. And unfortunately we had to walk the journey to know the answer. You're just not alone. People do it all the time. They realize no. So it is okay to confidently reject the offer, to just confidently say, thank you. You don't want to burn the bridge. I always say, be super polite. Don't ghost them. That's the worst. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are afraid of communicating, so they just get quiet, and that's awful.
Yeah.
If they say, we'd like to offer you this job, you just say, thank you so much for your time. Relative to where I'm at, I have decided that I'm not going to move forward and accept this offer, but thank you for the offer. And you don't have to. The other thing is that too many people give excuses and they say, I'm so sorry. No, don't. You don't need to apologize. You need to tell them why. Well, actually, what I realized was it was this whole journey. Oh, and all of a sudden they're saying all these things. It's like, shh, just have a confidence. Just say, shh. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have this tendency to over-explain ourselves, and it's truly just not necessary.
It is not necessary. The person on the other side is actually thankful that you did not say yes. And didn't want it. Remember that.
Yeah.
That is their nightmare. The return of investment on their end, hiring someone that didn't really want it, is awful. Knowing that now you're there and you're thinking, how can I get out? How can I get out? And now they have to deal with it. So best to be honest, best and normal.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, last question. And this is a good one. How can I get someone to see my value when I don't have a ton of experience yet?
It's so funny. In their head, in the mind of the individual, they can connect the dots, but the person who is potentially interviewing them can't connect the dots.
Yeah.
And you have to, the whole point is you have to connect the dots for them. That's what it is. So the last time we talked, I might've told you this, but it doesn't matter because different listeners listen to different things. But when I was first hired as a career coach, I didn't have any experience as a career coach. Then I was a speaker. I was a trainer, speaker for doctors all around the United States. And I was traveling, and I had a large family, and I was so sick of getting on a plane. So I wanted to figure out what to do. So, you know, this is all about like transferable skills. It's so hard to identify your transferable skills and figure out how to communicate them. So I did a whole bunch of networking, and people helped me connect the dots. Somebody said, you would be a great career coach to start. And I was like, how so? And they told me why. You have a natural curiosity. You connect dots well with people. And what's similar is, as a consultant, you were already showing doctors who were communicating what was working and what they needed to improve. That's what you do as a go. Okay. So blah, 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 blah. I somehow network my way into getting an interview to be a career coach. Like, and by the way, how that happened through networking. And you know how, if you don't have the experience, by the way, that is going to be your ticket in. Mm-hmm. Someone has to often refer you, because just on paper, that's the harder part too, is it does have to be your words that. And he said to me, so have you ever been a career coach? I mean, I could have just said no, because I hadn't, right? But instead I said, this is a great phrase to remember. I said, here's what I am. Instead of saying no, I said, here's what I am. I am someone who has the ability to see what is working and what is not, and communicate that and connect the dots. And that is the skill set of a coach. Now, are there topics that I need to learn? Yes, but that's the easy part. The skill set that I've been using the last 12 years, that's the intuitive part. And he was like, he even said, that's the best answer to no I have ever heard. Like I was completely hard. The point is, you do. That is the point. You have to. I had, remember during the pandemic, even now, a lot of teachers who are like burnt out, and they have to figure out, when they're trying to pivot their careers, what about teaching in the brain connects towards what they're trying to apply for? What's going on in their head? What are they translating in their brain that connects towards, like, what is it? A problem solving skill? Is it a problem solving communicating thing? Is it a management? Is it a project management thing? See, but what happens in their brain, in our brain, is we assume that people get it. They're like, can't you see it? But they don't. You have to connect the dots for them. And that, I think that's the hardest part, which, by the way, if you're out there and you're like, what are my transferable skills? I swear to God, Google is fabulous. Just put your career in and say, teacher, transferable skills. And it's like, oh, I think people forget that we have this amazing resource out there of Google.
I agree. Google is so underrated.
It is. People ask me all the time, where I'm like, I looked it up on Google, and I'm like, I'm not actually a genius. I just know where to go for the resources.
Just put in a little legwork.
Yeah. You just like look it up. So hopefully that helps. And my husband, who's a professor, he does a lot of, he teaches the juniors and the seniors, and he tries so hard to have real companies come in and do projects, because he wants them to have some stories for their interview so that they can do a little bit of value. Here's a company that came in, and here's what I worked on for them, because they're always saying, where's your experience? So I would say, also, young college graduates, try to pull from your experience from college and say, what projects did I work on that I use some sort of, and with a team, and connect the dots for the, that is what the professors are often trying to give to you, especially in those last 2 years, for you to connect the dots for the value for the next position, for the first positions. I know that was a long answer, but hopefully it was a
no, but a I think it was, a, I think it was, I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah. It's not easy. Not an easy one, but you can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Get creative. I feel like get creative is the answer to a lot of things too.
And confidence, and confidence, the confidence to say, here's what I know. Here's like, see, even that's just like, here's what I know. Here's what I am. It's like, instead of like, I think I kind of maybe like kind of sort of, oh my gosh.
Right. Like even your example, instead of, you could have let that question throw you and be like, oh, well, you're right. Like I wasn't ever a career coach, and like, maybe I'm not cut out for this, but you like leaned into like all the positives
Yes.
and like where you thrive. And obviously it worked out for you.
It did. And by the way, do you think I felt some fear inside? Oh gosh, yes. Inside, I was a little like, here it comes. I'm feeling afraid. Or maybe a little imposter syndrome. Like, oh, but I was like, no. I'm like, I'm going to try here because I believe that if you just give me some books to read and some of the like topics, I can just translate that. No, I'm going to speak into that. Which on that note, I know we're ending here, but I'm just going to splash that one out there. When I do a lot of mock interviewing or just anything with communication, helping people prepare, I hear so many people, you do such a great job at not using this, but so many, especially young women, do kinda, sorta, and maybe in their language. And kinda, sorta, maybe, I understand where it comes from. We don't want to come across bossy. And I think that's, it's their way of saying it in a way of like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, or I'm not trying to, but it actually undermines your confidence. It makes you look like you're taking back your thing. Kind of sort of maybe. I'm like, wait a minute, clean all that up. Get the kind of sort of maybes out of your language and just say the thing. Say it without those words, and you will find that your own confidence and the way others perceive you, it just goes through the roof. So if there's just start listening to yourself, and maybe even start listening to others when they're doing it, and start just little by little eliminating it. It is a habit that you will have to focus on eliminating, but it's a powerful habit to eliminate.
I love that, because I think no matter what position you're in, if you can stand firm in the things you're saying, it makes you look like the expert that you are, and people respect that.
Yeah. And you're not going to be bossy if you have a great tone.
Totally.
It's confidence, but it's a kind tone. And I think that's where people misunderstand the, you know, the taking it back. So yeah. There's like a little side tip. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering everybody's questions. I feel like I have a deeper understanding and insight to everybody and the things that they were asking.
Thank you so much I love random questions.
They're
there
fun
too. And just having the ability to ask someone. So thank you so much for trusting me with the questions and having me in today. I appreciate it so much.
Of course. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh, yes. Okay. So really Sundy at greenhousecoaching.co. That's right. And of course, my name is Sundy Marquardt. So on LinkedIn, I'm like the only Sundy, S-U-N-D-I-E, because there's no other Sundies. So people find me very easily on LinkedIn.
This has been a 58 Ember production. For more shows, please visit the 58 Ember channel, 58ember.com, or find us at 58 Ember Media on socials.